I'm like, Emily. I'm like, oh, okay. This is the really somber one, the way it starts out. It's really cool. So here's Heather Valley, Emily, on Steel City Music.
With the way people run around lost in the world. Ain't got nothing better to do than make a meal of some bright-eyed kid. You need somebody looking out for you.
Down as still trying to beat the clock.
I've been a fan of yours a long time, and I actually got your first record right when it came out, and was aware of you, you know, as you made records, and thought I knew you just based on the music you were putting out, and then you wrote this book recently called Horror Stories, and I realized I didn't know you at all, and it's fascinating to get a different perspective from inside an artist's experience, because right off the bat in the prologue you say, my songs have been stories that are like diary entries and ways to express my feelings and look at my feelings. And the book itself is incredibly confessional and incredibly private. And I wondered what the impetus was for deciding to write that confessionally about things that you never had an obligation to tell anybody.
And yet, at the same time, I meet so many people that tell me their personal stories because of my music, and I have been lucky enough to hear from fans that really have carried me through some of the darkest times of their life and used me as, like, a friend or a comfort or some kind of sense of that I'm there for them, my music is there for them, and that I speak in a way to the things that they can't speak about. And I think I've always carried that with me from the very beginning as a sense of obligation, that people come to me looking for some kind of sense of not being alone or that they are seen or heard or felt. And music has been that way for me as well, like my favorite artists. So I think that I've always had a sense, ever since I put out Exile in Guyville, that people were looking to me for more than just a great song or a great album. There was something more that they responded to in the way I presented myself and that they needed from me. And I think that in the world, there's too little of it. There's too little of a sense of, you know, we're in this together. And that it's tough to be a human being, and that the plight of humanity is the same at every level. I think that's something that I like to speak about and make art about, just our humanity, our shared humanity, the things that we all have in common.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
I won't replay for you the final scene from The Graduate. I will not scream your name and beg you not to go through with it. But I'm getting antsy. How about I change your plan? And come on, tell me, have you ever thought about walking out on your man? I know that once upon a time the two of you were pretty tight. Come on, can't you hear the little voice that tells you that something isn't right? And what's it got that I don't? What's the difference? Grass is greener on this side, girl. Stop sitting on the fence. You should be here with me. You got a choice, so make a choice. Pick someone else entirely. Don't you wanna be here with me? You should be here with me. You should be here with me. how I'm gonna cope. I wonder if I'll last the week. I'm trying not to, but I'm losing hope. Let's not call it quits. We got something we can say. I'm so lonely, I'm having fits. I know you swore you'd never came. On my mother's grave, I promise I'll behave. You should be with me. 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 Things are looking pretty grim. I see dark clouds overhead. I don't know what you see in him. Can't you see the same in me instead? Give me time to show I can be the better guy. You said your patience running low, but cross my heart and hope to die. Take a needle in my eye. I promise that I'll try. You should be with me. You should be with me. You know that you should be with me. You should be with me. Come on, come on, come on, come on. You should be with me. You should be with me. You should be with me. Oh, you should be with me. You know you should be with me. That you know that I know that you should be with me. You should be with me. Can't you see that you should be with me? You should be with me. You should be with me. You should be with me. Already, and I'm tired of saying it. That was cool.
It is a Steel City Music. I'm your host, Gunner, of course, and joining me right now via Zoom, and you don't need to see our faces. That's why we're only putting the audio portion into all of this, is the duo of, I'm going to say duo for now, and then we'll get into the whole thing. It's the guys from Coda Facto, Alex and John. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thanks for having us here.
Hello. Yeah, we're great.
You know, it's funny that you say that you're great, Alex, yet the last time you and I chatted, you were slightly going insane about a year ago going, yeah, this pandemic thing, I don't know what we're going to do. But I'm just going to write some songs, and, I'm looking out my window, Gunner. I live above the Jamesville area, and I'm like just looking out my window and I want something to do. And in my brain, when you were saying that to me at the time, I'm like going, oh yeah, he's not going to last.
Not gonna make it. Yeah, I remember that interview pretty vividly. I was pacing back and forth while we were doing that.
Yeah,
it was, you know what, it was a very uncertain time, I think, for everyone. And at that moment in time, I'm a service industry worker, and I'd recently been laid off. I was all of us had been.
Yeah.
And it was just a very stressful period where it's like, well, okay, I'm not going to do that thing that took up 40 hours a week, every week, all year. Now what am I going to do? Well, I guess I'm going to do that other thing that, you know, I tell everybody that I do. So I guess I should just do that. And it's write songs and make music and try and progressively just focus my attention towards songwriting. And, you know, after our interview, you know, I really did. I really went into it and started looking at different avenues that I hadn't really explored before. And it was quite productive, I have to say. I was very thankful for the time that I was able to dedicate. I wish it was under better circumstances. But, you know, I have to look at it for what it is, and I have to be thankful for that because it really did help me as a musician and as a writer. As a businessman too, you know, there was a lot of things involved in all this that I had never really considered, especially when it comes to a release, which John and I have just gone through with releasing Rock and Roll Sounds on July 9th. That was a lot of work. There's a lot of work, and it was a lot more than I had really given credit to. And I respect to all the artists that have been putting stuff out during this pandemic, because it takes a lot. We both thought we had a general understanding of what went into that, because we have released music before. But this time around, we realized that we had never released music properly. Because there really is a right and a wrong way of doing it. There's no wrong way of writing a song, but there's definitely a wrong way of releasing your song.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You know, it's the thing with... before the pandemic, and you guys are just being like, I wouldn't say fairly new, but I mean, it's like you with Strathcona, you guys just started. It was like 2019. I remember like when we were chatting back then, it was like one of the first interviews that you guys did as a band, and just talking about how the formation of the band, that sort of thing, how to start something. There was a general, I wouldn't say uneasiness, but there was like this tentativeness to the interview. The two of you were sitting there and someone's dad was behind me taking pictures, and I'm like looking around going, what's the problem here, right? But you guys were like, but on my end, as someone who's like, I've done like a stupid amount of good, bad, whatever interviews and chats, I'm like, you know, you guys can, it's okay, it's like you're just starting to learn. And I could tell with you guys, it was like you were trying to be very respectful, like as if you weren't like, I wouldn't say, is it like tentative, like afraid you're going to make a mistake, like a misstep that you weren't aware of something?
You called me a lawyer during that interview. Do you remember that?
That's right. Well, yeah, because you kept, everything was just like it was a statement. Like there was like the statements that you were reading off, and it was just like, guys, you're not under, it's just a chat, you know? But so when you tell me now that, you know, it's just like, we made mistakes, we did that, I think maybe you guys got to kind of cut yourself some slack, because you've never done any of this stuff before. And then now when you said, Alex, that you're in a apartment, you're like, you're committed to like, okay, well, my livelihood of 40 hours a week and this band thing, this thing that you and Jonathan are doing is like, is something you got to put a lot of work into. It's hard to all of a sudden get those, like the creative juices flowing when there's a pandemic and you can't have your regular things that influence you. Like for, do you know what I'm saying? It's just like, not only are you dealing with something still fairly new, but now you're also dealing with something that is really new, working in a pandemic.
Absolutely. In that sense, there was a bit of a leveling of the playing field when it came to how do you navigate being an artist in this time? And I think that we kind of felt we were part of that, and it gave us a nice incubation period. As a side effect of this awful thing which is happening, but there was a sort of tentativeness that we needed to address. I remember that interview. I remember thinking at that time that we wanted to represent, you know, all these different things. And I think one of the things that we found to be different going now as Code of Facto is that we're a bit more focused onto Alex and I and kind of what we want to distill into the music we're putting out there. So that becomes something which is quite liberating when it comes to choosing the songs and how we want to make a release strategy. And that was the key thing. When we released last time, we lacked a release strategy. And we got to spend a lot of time thinking about what that meant, especially in the era where our engagement with people is virtual. So that was a very good spur to that challenge.
And that was leading to my next question was, is that the versions of Strathcona that I had seen, even when I saw live performance, I think it was my second or third time seeing you guys when I went down to This Ain't Hollywood. I don't know if I was DJing or there was something I was doing there. To me, it looked like an ensemble cast up on stage. Like there was a lot of people up on stage. Mm-hmm. And I even mentioned to you, I said, who's the girl? Like I don't remember seeing, like there was this whole other voice to the band. I was like, I don't remember, this wasn't what I remembered before. So I could see that the band was evolving, but so now it's Codefacto is like it's just the two of you.
Yeah.
And that's it. So you're finding it much easier to work this way for now, but will it lead back into other members when you can perform?
Yeah, I think that right now we just wanted to focus on really deriving what we wanted to do. And, you know, as I'm sure you already know, we've been working really closely with Carl Jennings of Freedom Train out of Westmoreland Studios in Hamilton.
A great resource for information.
He's amazing. And he has a lot to do with why we are doing what we do. You know, we've found our sound and we've learned to become better writers working with Carl. And we realize that, you know, it's much easier. It was always there. That's the thing. I think, you know, not to discredit anything that we've ever done before with everyone that we've worked with, but it's much easier to do things when you have less people involved. That goes for anything. And really now we've found that, not particularly on this record, because this record has the original band on it, which is amazing. And I'm so glad that we got to put that out with them on it, because it's a very meaningful time for us. But a lot of the songs that we're coming out with on this EP, which hasn't been heard yet, they're more us. They're more a different approach. We've taken a more organic route to, you know, deriving the feeling of a song and really trying to deliver a vocal differently. And John's parts are more present more than ever, which is amazing. And, you know, we're just approaching the songs differently, you know, as you would have to. You know, I think everything changed. The world changed, our band changed, our mindset changed, our goals changed, our day-to-day changed, our work changed, everything. Nothing is the same. And frankly, it never will be the same as it was before. I don't want it to be the same as it was before. I want to find a new horizon with all of this. And I'm pretty thankful for everything that we've learned along the way. And there's so many people involved in that. You know, it's been a really interesting lesson this past year and a half, really. And, you know, as like, even with like, I really started critically thinking about, you know, I can't speak for John, but John was definitely affected by this as well. But thinking very internally as, you know, all these things that happened over the past couple of years, you know, what did I really take from this? And, you know, when Bob Lanois passed away, that hit home for John and I pretty hard, because when we were working at the Confab with Glenn Marshall, we were working with Bob Lanois, and Bob taught us so much. And, you know, everything's changing. And even with all the things with Bobby as well, it really kind of changed the way I was thinking about this release. Because I would have asked him, you know, what did you think of this video? What do you think of this song? He got to hear the song, which I'm very thankful for. And he liked it. And that was all I really needed to hear. I miss him tremendously. He was such a great man. And I value all that time. And we learned so much over the past like 3.5 years. Moving forward, all John and I can really do is try and distill all of that into what we're doing now. And we're ready now. You know?
When you say you're ready now, it almost came off to me a little bit. I was just thinking, you're ready now. It was as if it was like, there's like a little bit of fear.
Well, fear, sure. I think there's always a little bit of fear involved. I think that's what happens when you step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And you have to, if you really want to do anything, you have to constantly be stepping out of your comfort zone. But I think it was also, we were just learning, you know, mistakes were going to be made. That's just how it goes. And,
well, you did these songs, and you're putting out the EP, the Jamesville EP. How many songs did you go in with on this? Because you said it's like, okay, now it's a 2U, it's Code of Facto, but you had the band on it, the older band playing the music. Was there like 8 songs, 9, 12? Were you going to just do like an LP, or did you always intend to do an EP?
I think really in the first, it's actually interesting that you say that, because we kind of went back and forth, truthfully. We had debated, because we're in a weird era of music where it's a lot of single bass releases. So we had thought about, you know, let's do some singles, let's do videos, oh, let's maybe make a record or a full album. It eventually, you know, we did just determine that the best course of action would be to release an EP, and we did have these songs, and we were proud of them, and we worked hard on them. So we were going to put out the songs that we had before. We have, like, in total, there's 5 songs on this EP, and we're proud of those, and I'm excited about it. And we have more songs to come after as well, which would be great, that we've been working on.
Is that a 2022 thing for you then, for the next round?
What is it, 2021 now?
see what I mean, Jonathan? He was in the apartment far too long.
Well, I mean, yeah. I feel like we all love
what is time anymore?
Well, it's funny because, you know,
yes, to answer your question, like, yes, 2022.
Yeah, it's looking like 2022. The first EP will come out in September, or very, very, very early October.
Mm-hmm. But I think the thing too that we really wanted to bring attention to with Jamesville, and why that's the name and why that's the cover, is that all the songs that we are featuring on that EP were written in that apartment that Alex lived in. And what that EP really represents is this sort of chapter of songwriting for Alex.
Yeah, it was pretty challenging. It was liberating too. It was one of the first times I had ever really felt a true sense of independence. First time I've ever lived alone, like on my own, by myself.
Oh, good God.
I know. I've always
That's
had
horrible.
I know. Well, you know what? It was great. I worked right below my apartment at Born and Raised, which was an amazing period. I met a lot of really great people, made a lot of really good friends.
You say this, but to me, it's like when someone is like living alone, especially if you're like you're a young man or young woman. I know when I moved out, it was just like, okay, every day is gonna be a scene from a movie.
Yeah.
like there is no dull moments. It's absolute chaos. It's crazy. And it doesn't happen. Like that, you know.
Part of the life. It was good. I don't know. I was working a lot. I was working a lot and rehearsing a lot and being in the studio, and then COVID hit. And then I went on like full lockdown and just stayed in that apartment. But to be honest, I loved it. I was going crazy at first, but then I started getting into more like reading and listening to records more organically and writing more. It was, I don't know, it was probably one of the best times of my life, which is weird because for some it was the worst. Mm-hmm. And I feel weird saying it because, you know, it's like I had such a productive time and then other people have truly suffered.
That's the whole thing about making the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah.
And keying on that same phrasing earlier, moving forward, that's a term that I've been using with everybody, everyone that I've been in contact with this after, you know, now that the vaccines are out, you get your first vaccine, you get your second vaccine. And it's just like, we can't hang around and wait for something better to come. We have to move forward.
Yeah.
You know, so, and moving forward with that, this EP that's coming out, and you're releasing this single Rock and Roll Sounds. Why this song? Why is this the first one as the single?
Well, we had a video.
I saw the video. I saw the video.
And yeah, we had a video. It had a good vibe. It had a good energy. It's summer. I'm trying to give something uplifting to people. But also, it's the song itself is a reflection on being an artist, being misunderstood. You know, not everyone's going to really understand that pursuit of purpose. Mm-hmm. People look at it and don't truly understand, you know, why people do the things they do. And this was a song that I wrote when I was really critically thinking about that. And it just seemed like a relevant time for that. And it's just, it felt right.
When was it shot?
Last summer, right before.
So this was last summer then.
During some of the openings during COVID, like when I think between the first and the second wave, because I was back at work at this time. Yeah, so it would have been, I actually don't remember the month. It would have been between June and August, I think. I can't remember.
It was precisely a year ago, like this week.
Was it really?
That's crazy.
Oh, that's funny.
But
we released it on the day we were filming that, weren't we?
Yeah. No, my Google phone, because I surrender myself to the Google gods and it tells me all my memories for me. It says this day last year and it shows some pictures from the shoot. So that's how I remember.
Well, you know, the timing all makes sense now. It's this is the time that you're going to be like releasing it and you shot it last year. Did you guys storyboard this or did you just seek someone else to say, okay, here's the song, this is what it's about, but what are your ideas for?
So we had a treatment. We didn't necessarily storyboard it from scene to scene in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
We basically had a vibe that we knew we wanted to aim for, and we wanted to find a balance between, you know, what's something that's going to be accessible for using our little crew to try to make something happen and trying to come up with something that would show, you know, what are the things that we wanted people to know about Code de Facto when they saw this video. And I think some of the things that we were able to capture is that you see Alex and I, there's a lot of scenery in Hamilton, and that we knew that that was going to be important to that image, that we wanted to have that homage to the city and all these different stages that we've been in. And showing this idea that there's these four girls are out, they're having a fun time. Two of them are musicians. There's a little duo within the group. And that duo happens to meet us later on and we have to jam out. And we kind of wanted to show a bit of an appreciation for, you know, all these other musicians too, that we've been able to meet and how organically that's grown. I think that was really the essence we wanted to capture in that video.
Everything you just said, I think is bang on. Because when I was watching it, it seemed to me, it was coming off of, here is our hometown. We're a part of this. Here are some great things. And I think it was done very well.
Thank you.
You know, I'm surprised that I haven't seen this before, because I'm like everyone else when it comes to like what's going on around town. I fall down the rabbit hole and I start clicking and listening and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the video. So that's what I was asking about, it, like how you put it together and who did it for you. Okay, so it's out now. What's the thought process on release, on the timeline for the next single?
Well, the single, so basically the way we're doing it is in September. We have a soft launch date of September 24th, which is when the EP will come out and there'll be a focus single. So our next single will come then, and there could be some stuff leading up to it as well. Like, we're still kind of organizing ourselves as we go. Everything's pretty much set in stone now. We'll have some more video assets, another music video. I'll probably do some live performance. We would love to start playing live again. My God. Right. That's another can of worms to deal
I'm
with.
I'm so happy you said it that way, because that's exactly how I feel about all of this right now.
It changes everything. Like, for example, like we literally had a conversation about this today with our team. About, you know, what do we want to do about live? Because, you know, we are primarily a duo,
we want to play live. And, you know, what does that look like? Where do we play? What kind of draw would we have? Is it worth doing a live show or a live recording or pre-recorded, like a lot of people are doing now? And we might do a mixture of all of those things. You know, we do have the band that we've been playing with. Like, we've been really fortunate with working with some great musicians over this time. Like, Carl Jennings has been amazing, Freedom Train, bass and singing. Like, he's unbelievable. I'm playing with our buddy Joel McCabe, who's been playing guitar on one of our singles. Chris Gormley from The Trues.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Chris, yeah.
Records. He's playing on the next single, and he played on most of this EP. Tim Jennings as well, Carl's brother, is playing guitar on, not guitar, sorry, drums on one of the other singles. And even Chris's brother is playing on it as well.
Because of just the landscape has changed so much. Before the pandemic hit, there was only so many venues to play. Like, and I mean like live art gallery spaces. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
but we could also play at our level too. It's like, we can't like roll up into Cops, be like, yo, move this vaccine center out here.
We're gonna.
You think we could play a show in there while they're doing it?
I think acoustically you're dead.
Yeah, I know. I'll just go with our acoustic and our violin.
There's so much going on in that place. Sound wise, it's a bit of a challenge. You have to have a certain rig in there to make you sound good. You're going with an acoustic PA, and it's just like, uh oh.
I'm not even thinking about a gunner.
The reason why I bring it up is because I had this same conversation earlier today with the num-num, Max Ray, and like a good friend of mine. And he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing an acoustic show, but with comedians and this and that. And I'm like, okay, now those are like, those are hard to do in comedic spaces and dedicated spaces. And then now that you have this pandemic thing that's happened, there's that little bit of apprehension of like, okay, so if I go out to a show, how many people can come in? And I put a lot of work into this. And what if they shut it down again? Or should I just go to an art gallery and do something a little bit different for everyone where it's a different style of venue, right? Okay. Because there's also the pressure of filling a larger venue.
Definitely a pressure to fill a larger venue. We just had this conversation today again. Like, that was definitely a thing that John and I both share the same reservation of, you know, there is no real knowing what's going to happen. And people are also like, yeah, people are getting vaccinated. And that's amazing. But it doesn't mean they're still going to feel comfortable going to a live show. And we all need to be prepared for that. You know, I do think that people will go. Like I said earlier, I am a service industry worker and I am seeing people come out to eat. And I do suspect people will go out to shows. Can I speak for our particular fan base or our friends or family? Mm-hmm. No, I don't know. It's hard to say. You know, shows, they do cost money to put on a proper show. Like, they cost money. And, it, you know, you got to think about nowadays too. It's playing live isn't necessarily a consistent avenue of revenue now. And, you know, we do a one-off show and you may break even, or you may actually go in the red on it. For where we're at right now, does that really make sense? You know, we have to consider a lot of different avenues. And, you know, John and I have been thinking about doing even our little rehearsals out in different places around town, just playing. You know, we're not busking, we're just playing.
Right.
You know, going down to the waterfront maybe, or going to a park or wherever it may be, because, you know, it doesn't really matter where you play, because you just need to spread the word. And we are limited to where we can really go at the moment. It's going to be interesting to see how everything kind of unfolds. But the most important thing is that we are prepared to play. We want to play. And, oh God, I just miss it so much. I'm kind of lost for words. I just remember playing those shows and just having all those people there and having that energy. You do crave it. You do long for it. I know I do. I feel like John does too.
Yeah, so I mean,
John misses jumping off the stage into the crowd.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, for my other job, I love working from home, but not for being a musician.
But yeah, Jonathan, it's an interaction. There's an energy that you share with your audience.
Yeah.
You know, and you need it, right?
Absolutely. That's why we do it, especially in these early stages. I mean, it's you know, in the early stages of being a musician, there isn't a whole lot of you know, like when you start to get attraction and things like that, there can be all sorts of forms of validation. But in the early stages, it's that's not necessarily guaranteed. There's a lot of times that feel like you're just kind of alone, thinking, "Hey, this is pretty great." And those shows are like that's where it's real. That's where you have people who do have you can have a connection with them. It's a good reminder of why you even picked up an instrument in the first place, and just for something that was not just something that was fulfilling and liberating for you, but something that was going to be transformative as to, you know, how people can express and share and experience something that means so much to you. Yeah.
I really do miss watching John jump off stage, though. That was great.
I don't keep in touch. I know I should. I wish I'd be better like you say I could. It's been so hard, so far. Am I the man I thought I'd be? Open your eyes to the world I see. It's bizarre, beautiful and so dark. You bring me round when my head's in the clouds. In the here and now, I'm found making rock and roll sounds. Going, catch your dream. A soul is worth its weight in gold. A tongue tied when I say goodbye. I am a man living another life. I am told it'll take its toll.
You're listening to C101.5 FM, The Ha, from Mohawk College in Hamilton, Ontario.
You're listening to Steel City Music.
Mountains to climb, and this one is mine, and the view from the top makes me shiver inside. Downtown is black till the power comes back, and Lord only knows how we waited. I come up Street line is taking its time, picking up souls who are decades behind. Like prisoners of war, they've seen it all before, and no act of torture will shake them. When the last train's gone, is yours. As though I